Ellen Sanders. How is everyone today?
Good.
Doing
all right.
Fine.
Great.
Great. All right. So here is the thing. We're in the middle of change. Danny has decided to take another position. He's my graphic designer, so we're in the midst of hiring a new one, so we got sidetracked on that. So I'm going to start out just by asking how many people here have experience and how many of you are stuck? So the first question is just going to be, are you brand new or are you, a little more experienced? So if you're brand new, on the count of three, I want you to say brand new. One, two, three. Okay, I don't hear anyone brand new. All right. If you're a little bit more experienced, on the count of three, say experienced.
Experience.
Okay. Everybody else muted. Do we have any brand new people on the call? Let's try that. Are any of you on the call who are brand new today? Because we had a number of new people sign up. All right, cool. Well, then, for those of you on the call and who wish to talk during it, as you know, the calls are recorded. You give me permission. You sound quality, likeness of your voice, in perpetuity worldwide. Without recompense. All right, now, who wants to speak up? I'll give a little soliloquy here in a second, but before I do that, who wants to tell me either where they're at this session, what you're stuck on, or what you need help with? Anyone, go ahead and speak up. Don't be shy.
Hey, Marlon, this is David Corbley in Seattle. How you doing?
Hi, David. Doing great.
Good. Hey, real quick, I've been using your promo dashboard and things like that. Awesome tools. Thank you. Thank you. This is my first A-team call. Here's where I am right now. I've been in the real estate business for about 7.5 years, real estate
All right.
investing business. And I got into the speaking business, and now I'm more of trying to push things out online. We've actually gotten a big following of people, and I know that I'm really missing the boat online. I've done a lot of pay-per-click and stuff like that for real estate marketing. But right now I'm in the process of trying to put together a campaign where I can go out and work on the domination of that market. It's a fairly competitive market, the real estate training industry.
Now, I would think it's pretty competitive, yeah.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So I got a bit of a following now, but my challenge is in building a list because we only have maybe a couple of thousand people on our list, and that's not bad, but there's other speakers out there, and I'm not comparing, but that have, 30, 40, 50,000 people on their list.
So your thing is list building then in a highly competitive market.
Yeah, list building in a competitive market, absolutely.
All right, then I'll come back to that at some point during this call. And your name was David, right?
Yeah, David.
In Seattle. All right, and then who else wants to talk, tell me where you're at or what your stuck point is this week or just what you got going on? Nancy, Mike, are you guys on the call, the regular?
Yeah.
All right. What's up with
you,
Nancy?
Well, I just got my blog fixed.
Oh, great.
It took a while, but it's now up and running.
Okay.
And I'm having a little technical problem with Odesk about getting back. It's just the way their format is. It wasn't logical, and I haven't paid her, not because I don't want to. She did a great job.
Well, on mine, now, I don't know how you have yours set up. The way you want to get it set up is it just pays them automatically when the project's completed. That's how I have mine set up. And so it just
automatically pays them out of
my PayPal.
But their customer service just sucked swamp water. So
all right. Well,
that's my only thing.
Okay. I can't help too much on that one, but it is part of the business sometimes.
Yeah, it just is. Anyway,
things
she did
like
a great
that.
Job, and I'm very relieved. I've got my articles, and I'm going to start sort of rewriting them in my own voice and get them up on my blog.
All right, great. Very cool. Who else has a question or comment or where you're at? Mike, are you on the call, Peso?
Yes, I am.
All right, what you got going on, my friend?
I am head deep into writing copy for a new product.
All right. Did you get your Filipina on track? I know they started, but are they working out for you?
Yeah, actually, it's my writer has become very good, so we're pumping out 3 or 4 articles a day.
Dang.
Through the blog and then into Article Marketer. We throw them on the blogs first and then into Article Marketer.
And that, how's that working for you, do you know?
The Article Marketer's only been up for about 3 weeks. So we're getting a lot of backlinks when I check.
Okay.
Traffic hasn't picked up significantly, but I am starting to see some traffic show up in the stats.
Well, you know, the thing on that, Mike, is you're, and you probably know this very well, some of the newer people on the call, though, when you do article marketing, the thing is that you take keyword phrases and you write articles on them, or you hire someone to write articles on them for you. The idea is that if you submit them to eZine Articles or to other article directories, there's a couple strategies. One is you just submit them to a bunch of article directories. You get backlinks to your website for that keyword phrase. And when people search Google for that keyword phrase, hopefully you're there in the top 10. Another strategy is you submit it just to eZine Articles and try to get your views up so that then your article is displayed number one. And then should Google choose to display an eZine Articles on their search results, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, then yours will appear first because it has the most views for that phrase in eZine Articles. Or if you're lucky, you got a phrase no one else has written an article on in eZine Articles, and you're the only one. I don't see that very much anymore unless you're in some obscure market. What I see is quite a few articles, some of them, a lot of them with quite a decent amount of views, so it's fairly competitive, and Google doesn't even always display the results. So my point on that is you got to be aware of the competition for the keyword phrase, obviously, and these are things I'm sure you all you know, Mike, but the other people don't. The way I check competition for a keyword phrase is you type the phrase in Google in quotation marks, and that tells you how many websites. Most people think, well, nobody searches in quotes. No, that's not what it tells you. It tells you how many websites have that phrase on their page. So it tells you it's a strength of competition ranking. Meaning, you know, if you've got 5,000, 7,000, 3,000, 1,000 competing sites with that exact phrase, you know, that's okay. But if you're trying to do article marketing on a phrase that 500,000 people have that phrase on their site, you know, you got a long haul there because you know, it's probably not going to work. What some people do is they write the article for eZine Articles on the keyword phrase, then take another article, or possibly even that one, I'm not sure how they do it, and submit it to all the other article directories linking to the eZine article to try to get the views up on eZine Articles so it'll be first, and then hope that Google displays that in the search results. So there's more than one way to play the game. One way is just trying to get backlinks under that keyword phrase. The other one is actually trying to get be number one on eZine Articles, which is the number one article, just the number one on eZine Articles, the number one article is many times displayed in the top 10 results. It's surprising sometimes how many times it is on highly competitive phrases. So there's a couple ways to play the article marketing game. Any way you play them, you know, you're probably wanting to outsource the creation of the articles. I just wanted to bring this up about the keyword competition because and what's realistic. Like, if you've got over, it depends on the phrase, right? In general, if you have over 10, 20, 30,000 competition in quotes for a phrase, just writing the article and submitting it, I don't know that you're going to get the – I doubt you're going to get the juice on it unless there's something there in your process. And then people do other things. They submit the article, then they use social bookmarking on the article. Some people create Squidoo or Hub pages and link to the article. So there's all kinds of article marketing games out there. The simplest just being like today I sent out an eZine about custom sculpture, all right? About sites about custom sculpture. And let's just use this as an example. If I type that in Google, there in quotation marks, there are 10,700 search results of pages that have the phrase custom sculpture on them. So this is realistic to compete for, 10,700. Now, in this case, I don't see any eZine articles there, which either means there's no articles on that phrase, which I'll check right now, or if there are, Google's just choosing for whatever is in the mind of Google to not display them. So let me go to ezinearticles.com, and if I lose you, I'm going to come back and we'll take questions here in just a second. This really wasn't, we got more to discuss today, but this is kind of important because your article marketing, especially if you do blogging, is important to the sales process. So I'm at eZine, E-Z-I-N-E, articles.com, that's plural, ezinearticles.com, and we're just going to type in custom
sculpture. Let's see if anybody's written an article on it. You know what? I don't believe anybody's written an article on the phrase custom sculpture. That means if you did write an article, there would be a halfway decent chance, that pretty decent chance, Google would display your article in the top 10 results. So that's just an example of, see, when I started, I've never done a lot of article marketing, but the mistake people make is they write articles on phrases that you've got no chance really, you know, to rank for. In which case, you're just kind of wasting time because you're just not going to get much bang for your expenditure of time. So the key to that thing is, let's say that that phrase that we just talked about, custom sculpture, let's say that had too much competition. What you then do is you take the keyword phrase custom sculpture, you put it in the Google keyword tool, which I'll tell you how you find that, and you search and you see if you can find a lower competition phrase that has 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 competitors that you can rank for. So that's how the whole article marketing game works. Did I just lose anyone, or do you all understand what I'm talking about and how that works? Or did I lose anyone? Does anyone want to comment on that? All right. Well, I'm assuming then that I didn't lose anyone. Here I'm looking at Google Ads under the custom, the phrase like custom sculpture and eZine articles. I'm looking at the ads over at the right, which are the paid ads from Google. Here's custom art from photos. So let's type that in Google in quotes. And there's only 10 competitors for that. So like if I wrote an article, custom art from photo, I got a pretty darn good chance of being ranked in the top 10 because there's only 10 competitors to begin with. Sometimes what you can do is you can look at the paid ads on the right-hand side and what they're using for their headlines. You search the headline and see if anybody's got an article on it. If they don't, you got a real good chance, and if there's not a lot of competition on it, you got a real good chance of being ranked and getting the clicks for free that the other person's paying for. Like here's turn photo into painting. Somebody has that. I'm seeing it here. Turn photo. This is just the Google ad again under this kind of this custom sculpture thing. Turn photo into painting. Let's put that in quotes. All right, that has 584 competitors. So someone over here on the right-hand side is paying for those clicks. And you could probably write an article on that, submit a design article or some of these article directories and be listed in the top 10 real fast for it and get the free clicks. Now, this works a lot better in some markets than others. Like gentleman on in real estate in Seattle, you know, that deal ain't going to fly in real estate market because probably anything you type in quotes about real estate, you're just going to have this insane number of results. So then you really get into more hardcore search engine stuff. All right, anyone else want to comment on where they're at or what they're doing before I give a little a talk this week, and then we'll talk to people individually. But does anybody have any stock points or any comments or about where you're at in this process?
Marlon, this is Marge.
Hi, Marge.
Hi. I was wondering if you could just give your take on, lately I've been hearing everyone say give away your best information up front.
Right.
Because then that draws people in and so forth. And so I just wondered that versus it used to be that we just gave away a portion, kind of a teaser, of what we were going to sell.
Well, that's a very good question, Marge. First of all, that means you're at least understanding the game, all right?
Okay.
You're at least understanding the game. But now let me, like in that hypnosis product that I was like raving about by Clifford Mee, the conversational hypnosis, he talks a lot in there. It's an NLP technique actually called frames, setting frames, all right? So I'm trying to think of a simple way to explain this. You got to understand, anything that you read from anyone online, including myself, has a frame if they know what they're anything at all about marketing. They're trying to set a frame. Because if you're within their frame, then you buy into their other things they say and into their products, and you buy out of other people's frames, all right? So let's just give an example. If I'm selling how to make money with private label rights stuff, right, if that was my niche, That's going to be my frame. And I'm going to set frames that try to frame that topic and the subject to my favor. So the picture is the content or the topic and what I'm wanting people to buy into. The frame puts that picture into different, like, light and look. So if I was in PLR, my frame would be all these people are out trying to hire all these writers to create custom articles, and they're just wasting their time and money. It's just so much simpler and easier just to get a PLR article, and you can rewrite it in half the time, and you'll save 50% of the money, and it works every bit as good. All these other people are just crazy. I just set a frame about PLR, right? Now, if my position in the market was, for whatever reason, because I sold a service, an article writing service, then I would try to set another frame. All these people trying to tell you to spin PLR, yeah, it may be working now, but it ain't going to be working 3 or 6 months from now. Google's going to kill it. So I'm going to set a different frame. So now let's take this up to the level of product launches and moving the free line and all of this stuff. There's a guy, Chris Anderson, he wrote The Long Tail, and he supposedly wrote a book that I've never seen, I don't think ever came out, about moving the free line. Somebody quoted from a book that doesn't exist, or maybe a conversation with him or something he said on a blog. Maybe the book someday will exist. The first person I heard quote it was Evan Pagan. But you've got to understand, Evan was in the middle of a product launch where he's like giving away some free videos or something, right? So he's trying to attract buzz and to get people within his frame of all these other people. They don't get it because they're not giving away free videos and information. I get it, and so I'm giving all this away free, and you all need to do this too because you've got to move the free line. If you buy into that, then you buy into the other marketers don't know what they're doing. This guy really knows what he's doing, and he's right. You've got to move the free line. Now, that's maybe true. That's maybe not. It's more of a marketing ploy to put yourself as being more credible than the other marketers who are so stupid that they don't realize you need to move the free line. Do you understand what I just said? For the new marketers on the call, if anybody's new listening, I apologize because this is an advanced topic. But let's go back. Marge, do you understand what I just said?
Yes.
Does that make sense, or because I said it kind of fast and it is a more advanced concept. Do you get it or not get it?
Well, I'll keep thinking about it, and I guess the main thing will be that I have to decide, you know, how I would be viewed and which side to take.
Well, yeah. Now, it's, in other words, if you can give away information and frame it so that it makes you look better front than your stingy competitors who are such evil, awful people that they won't give away anything for free.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say it in good enough, what I would call conversational hypnosis terms. You say it so that, see, this is a real marketing art. Because if you just come out and go, oh, all these other marketers are stupid, stingy idiots, and they won't give you anything free, and I'm giving you some free information, people aren't going to respond to that because it's going to be too blatantly obvious of a technique. So you've got to understand, this is happening within the Internet marketing game, which is these are the best marketers in the world. So this is they have very, very, very high communication skills and are able to communicate something like that at a level where you're just shaking your head going, yeah, that's right. You are so right about that. Man, I'm right there with you. See, so what I would say in general, depending on your level and strength of competition in your market and how savvy the other game players in the game are, the more savvy they are, the better you got to be at this. The more you're competing against stupid people or people who are uninformed, better said than stupid, but people who don't really stay that much up with the game, then the more sloppy you can be, which is great, right? The sloppier you can be, the higher the strength of, in other words, if you're sitting there playing a game and you're against people who are all really, really awesome, well, you better be on your game, you know.
Right.
But if you're playing Scrabble and you're a pro and you're playing against some people that, like, play twice a year, you know, you can sit there and be half asleep and still win. So it all depends on what game you're playing and who you're playing against. What I would say overall is this marketing strategy is this. Tell people what to do but not how to do it. Because
okay.
The more you tell people how to do it, the greater the opportunity for what? Like, as soon as you tell people how to do something, what's their likely response going to be? Think about it. soon as I tell you tell someone how to do something, what is their response going to be? Number one, their curiosity level just went out the door because you just told them. Are they curious anymore?
No.
No, curiosity is a major driving force in buying. So, A, they're not curious anymore, so you just got rid of that buying motive. Two, your first gut reaction when somebody tells you how to do something is to tell them why it won't work for you, why it won't, doesn't, yeah, that's good, but that doesn't apply to me. That would work for other people, it won't work for me. Or, boy, that sounds like really hard work, or I don't think I can do that because I don't have any self-confidence. All of those things come up as soon as you tell people how to do something.
No, what to do something, Marlon, or how to do something?
When you tell them how to do something, all of those issues come up. As soon as I tell you, go do a 12 product, sorry, if I'm just saying, here's the difference, what to do, listen, you've got to find out what your people want to buy and then sell it to them. That's a what to do. It doesn't tell you how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
What a how to is, dude, go do a 12 product survey. Immediately you go, well, I ain't got a list. What 12 products am I going to survey? Where am I going to get these 12 product ideas from? How am I going to get people to take these surveys? How many responses do I need to take to this survey? And what software do I use to take this survey? That's a horrible idea. And I think I'm scoring points to get you to buy my product by telling you that. I just raised up 50 reasons for you to not buy. 50.
In telling someone, I'm just so getting trying to get this. In telling someone what to do, those objections come up, but then you can address them in that.
No, the objections don't come up, Andrew, because they don't know what you're telling them to do. That they can't object to anything specific because there is nothing specific.
Oh, okay. So the what?
I tell you, find out what people want to buy. What, are you going to argue? No, dog, I think you should just go out there, put on a blindfold, and just sell stuff blindly. There is no argument against find out what people want to buy. Like, there's no marketer in the world that I know of will go, no, I think it's a better idea to not find out what people want to buy and just go sell stuff.
Gotcha.
Right? But as soon as I get into specific methods and things that you have to do, first of all, when I talk about things you got to do, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Well,
that's
how much
work
is it going to be? How much is it going to cost? How long is it going to take me to do that? Well, how hard am I going to have to work? What skills do I have to do that? Do I got to have any software? Do I got time to do that? Do I know how to do it? All of those questions come up when I start telling you how to do something.
And
so,
they don't come up in the what to do.
No.
Then why in a sales letter? Then what's the objection part in the sales letter, which is essentially telling someone what to do? Or is it not?
I don't understand your question. Repeat your question.
Okay, when you're selling a product, okay,
yeah.
you find out what the market wants, and now the product essentially is a how to do it.
Yeah, the product is, but you're not telling them how to do it in the sales letter.
No, you're telling them what it's all about.
Right.
And what the benefits are. But in that sales letter, here's where I'm a little bit confused. Don't you bring up what the potential objections could be to purchasing this how-to-do? Because in the dialogue in their head is, the very things that you described, you know, how much work is.
Well, typically sales letters don't reveal the how-to either. You don't get
no.
the how-to until you buy the product. Typically sales
right.
letters make you even more curious.
Okay.
The three things you actually positively must do to find out what people want to buy, and the one thing that could ruin the whole rest of your life and make you never have kids and take all the money out of your bank account if you screw this one thing up. Oh, my God. I better find out that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to lose my kids, lose my inheritance, and have a horrible rest of my life. See, it makes you more curious.
Mm-hmm.
The moment your curiosity is satisfied, the game's like over.
Yeah, got it.
Right?
Got it.
The moment your curiosity is satisfied, it's just kind of like, oh, yeah, well, yeah, but that sounds like hard work, and that's going to take time and money, and God, I think I'll go get something else and maybe it'll sound better. Oh, this one sounds really good. Oh, my God, this whole thing here sounds so much better. And then you get it and you're like, I'm not curious about that anymore. Man, that sounds like even more work than the other one. Good God. This one I got to buy Google Ads. How much is that going to cost? You got to have landing pages. Oh, my God, I got to have hosting for landing pages. How am I going to get do the graphic design? Who's going to do the graphic design? Who's going to put that blog up for me? Where do autoresponders? How much money is that going to cost? I think I'll go buy another one. This one sounds better.
Mm-hmm.
See how it works?
Yeah.
So there's a brilliant guy, by the way, named Michael Cage, who's in the Dan Kennedy model. And Michael teaches people how to sell via seminars. I mean, his psychology is also very sound for sales letters, but he's a specialist in teaching people to sell with teleseminars. And Michael has what he calls chunks that are all different kinds of ways to tell people what to do, but not how to do it. Like, have you ever seen a letter that tells you 12 mistakes to avoid or 10 mistakes to avoid? Have any of you ever seen that?
Sure.
Well, yeah, I would. I'm just trying to make sure y'all are there and thinking. Yeah, of course you have, right? Well, mistakes to avoid don't tell you how to do anything. It just makes you more curious about, you know, what you might be doing wrong, and you know nothing about how to do it right. And my prime example of this is the book The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. In the whole entire, everybody thinks it's the most awesome book in the world. Every entrepreneur, oh, my God, that was the greatest book in the world. Well, he doesn't tell you how to do anything in the whole entire book. All he does is tells you what to do. You need systems and you need to document stuff. He doesn't tell you how to document anything. He doesn't tell you how to create systems. The whole entire book is what to do, and everybody thinks it's a brilliant book. And by the way, at the end, there's a form for a free consultation. The book is a sales letter. The whole entire mm-hmm. book is a sales letter. Nobody's smart enough to realize it. Like, you know, next time you hear somebody talk, oh, that book, The E-Myth, that's a great book. Oh, well, what did you like about that? Oh, my God, it taught me I needed systems. Really? You use the free consultation form at the back of the book. That's what I always ask them. So anyway, this is important to understand because, it makes you a smarter marketer. It makes you a little bit smarter about sales presentations and what happens. Now, in Internet marketing, it's a little bit different. People do put out content. I put out content. You will notice when I put out my weekly e-zine, it's a frame. It says, you know, all the product launch people only give you content during the product launch. I'm here every week and have been for years giving you content, right? So I'm setting a frame. The product launch people, their frame is when they come out with this killer hour-long content, people just go bonkers over it, but they have the extra advantage that all the affiliates in on the product launch spread it around. So it's a very difficult model to compete against if the product launches are really well executed, which typically involves really large prizes and stuff also, which is legally probably a little risky. But for you, those of you who are new, I apologize. This is way over your head. And you just kind of got to stick with these calls because we cover basic stuff and then sometimes we cover more advanced stuff because we have people at all levels on these calls. So if you're new, you know, just hang in, listen to some of the old audios and stuff in the site and so forth. All right. I hope that was useful to some of you. Now, let's talk about a few practical things that I think might be useful. Let me see what I can talk about today that I think well, let me just tell you a couple things going on in my business. So we hired a graphic designer finally in the Philippines who's doing great. Now, well, she's more like a jack-of-all-trades person. As an update, the website that John teaches in his Replace Myself program to use to recruit the talent, best jobs, is having problems right now. And so John may have to start his own network. They were bought out in the and they wouldn't let John's people send out emails through their system, and then we just joined under our own corporate account, and for no logical reason, they will not allow us to use their system. the responses I'm getting are totally and completely irrational. So hiring people in the Philippines may become more difficult, and it, you know, there's Craigslist. You can use Craigslist, but it may become more difficult. So I just wanted, for those of you who remember that, John is trying to start his own thing and come up with a solution, but I wanted to give you a heads up on that. We are, I believe, hiring today a new writer that's in the Philippines. From when we could use the system, we had located him. And we're also trying to hire a full-fledged designer. Danny is leaving staff, accepted a position somewhere else. That happens with staff. You have turnover. In this case, it shouldn't have happened, probably. Danny was a great employee, very talented. And it really happened because lack of communication on my part. One thing I'm going to add to my process with managing employees is, I believe, is a monthly meeting. I mean, we do daily meetings, but those are focused on tasks and not just the job itself or the process or that kind of thing. I think it's probably important that you have a monthly sit-down with your staff just to see where they're at and what's in their head. Having people, though, especially if you can afford them, does a whole lot for your business. Now, I wanted to go back. Let me see if there's anything else. Oh, we've also worked a lot on our autoresponders in the past couple of weeks. You got to think through your autoresponder process. So when people come in the door, you know, they go in an autoresponder, and then what's going to happen after that? And it's just important that you think through that whole process. What we're doing now is we're going to try to have a separate process for new people on our list versus the people who have been there a while. And it's not the easiest system to work out. But my real point of this is your autoresponders, I think, are really important. You just got to decide, okay, so when somebody new comes into my business, what am I going to do with them? Where are they going to go? What's going to happen? What's the process? Again, for those of you who are new, this is not a very good newbie call. I should be doing a newbie call here, but go back and listen to some of the audios in the private site. If you're new and you don't know where the private site is, just go to getyoursupport.com, talk to Tim, and he will get you all the recordings of the past calls. A lot of those are just great newbie information. Today, I guess, for whatever reason, it's a little bit more advanced call. I wanted to go back. It was Dave in Seattle. Is that right? Are you still with us?
Yeah, that's me.
All right, Dave. I wanted to go back to you real quick and just talk a little bit about lead generation is a highly competitive market. First of all, I don't envy you because of the same position I'm in. And, like, if you search custom sculpture in Google and you look at the results there, and it's a high-margin business, you'll kind of be envious because you'll be like, wow, there's like, that's very easy picking. You go to something like internet marketing or real estate, you know, and you're competing with the big boys, you know, big guns or whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. The problem in real estate is what is the term that someone would use to search for you, first of all, real estate coach or what do they search for, real estate mentor?
I would say like real estate investing, real estate like maybe short sale training, foreclosure, pre-foreclosure training, things like that.
All right.
Probably short sales would be one of the biggest niches that I target.
All right. Well, see, that's not bad. Real estate short sale training, there's only 265 competitors, so that's like taking candy from a baby.
And this is on the Easing articles, right?
No, Doc, this is in Google. You want to know the strength of competition in Google.
Oh.
What matters in Ezine articles is the number of, if there's already articles on that phrase, Ezine articles ranks their articles, not 100%, I don't know their full ranking system, but the main thing is how many views your article has had, all right? So if there were 10 articles in Ezine articles with the title, or the words in the title, real estate short sale training, then the one with the most views would get displayed in Google if Google chose to even display an article from Ezine articles under that phrase, which they don't always do. But the first thing you just want to do is see is how many competitors are there for the phrase. So you go to Google and you type in quotes, real estate short sale training. In this case, there are only 265 pages with with that phrase on them. When you type it in quotes, that finds all the other pages that have that phrase on them. 265 is like nothing. That's like taking candy from a baby. So you should be able to be number one on that, you know, with not very much work.
I'm actually number two. I'm looking right there.
All right. Well, then that kind of proves the point. You should be number one, though, because the number one listing will get 50% of the clicks.
Oh, okay.
So it's real, you know, you're losing 50% of your clicks by not being number one.
Okay.
All right. I would also be their number one on the pay-per-click side, since that's a highly targeted phrase. I would tend to think that it would be real important to be there.
Okay.
Next thing that you just do is you go to Google and you search Google Keyword Tool. All right? That will bring up the very first listing called Google AdWords AdWords Keyword Tool. And here we're just going to enter in short sell just to see what other phrases are available. Then you have to type in a CAPTCHA. All right. Get keyword ideas. All right. And then I just sort then by the search volume. You just click the little link at the top, the blue link at the top of the column. It'll sort the phrases by searches. All right. Okay, so this short sell doesn't necessarily bring up real estate stuff, so let me type in real estate short sell and see if we get some better targeted terms.
I've had a little bit of a challenge finding keywords that actually have any pull.
Let's go ahead and check this real estate short sell and see if we get anything worthwhile or not. Again, what we're looking for is keywords that have 20,000 or under, 15,000 or under competition. Now, you can compete on the higher competition phrases, but you get into harder. The more competition like that, the harder core SEO junk you get into. All right? I'm right there with you.
I guess one of my big issues, too, is the competition. See, I'm targeting people that want to learn about the business, and the big competition there is actually end users like homeowners and people like that have no interest in a business.
Right,
want to figure
right.
out for themselves. So I need to avoid them.
Well, real estate's a lot like internet marketing in that. You got to be really good if you're going to get the organic traffic. And, I mean, you would have – in other words, let me just say it this way. It's pretty high skill level or very high skill level if you want to go on the organic side. The pay-per-click side is going to be expensive and not cheap, but if you have a high dollar conversion on the back end, then you could afford to work on the pay-per-click side. But I don't know. I'm guessing that this is a buck a click market for your keyword phrases.
To place in like the top five, I'm probably running around $1.50, $2 right now.
Yeah. All right. The thing that I know about real estate, though, is this. If you have a high ticket product, there's a whole circuit of people that do the webinars or teleseminars to sell the high tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always out looking for some, as far as I know, they're always out looking for somebody that's got a $2,000 to $6,000 ticket who knows how to sell it via webinar or teleseminar.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can close and you got a good topic, you should have no lack of people that will get people on a call and let you sell them. I mean, you start with Stacy Kellums. That's his model, K-E-L-L-U-M-S.
Mm-hmm. I know who Stacy is, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but Stacy's working the organic side of Google, but has a whole, you know, he does the review sites, and he has like a whole system for doing it, and a pretty high level of skill. He has software that's no longer available for it, and, you know, the whole nine yards. But the end result of the system is he gets people on teleseminars and sells them a big ticket. He's got about 10 or 12 people that he rotates on those calls. if you came to him with a fresh $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 product that would sell, then he would put you on there and split the money. And if you sell good on one, then a lot of other doors open for you. So in a highly competitive market like real estate, I mean, there are the normal methods for the pay-per-click and the organic side. The main method that you use is just what Stacy's doing, but a lot of people do it, so it's not – there's still less opportunity there, and that is you get the names of all the real estate people and you bid on them. You create pages on the organic side, target them on the pay-per-click side, and the names of products. And you bid, and you create organic blog listings on, and you do pay-per-click bids on the names of the products. And that's pretty much the same thing people do in internet marketing. It's not your best traffic. Your best traffic is going to come from your joint ventures, so you're probably well-advised, just like internet marketing. It's why everybody does product launches. You know, your best model is either getting people to pitch you, to allow you to pitch on teleseminars and webinars, or do product launches. And that's probably where your best traffic is going to come from. Short of that, you're going to have to really become great or hire somebody who's great at SEO or pay-per-click. On both of those, it's not an amateur game. Both of those, you're really in the pro leagues, either on the pay-per-click side, in my opinion, on the pay-per-click side or the organic side. You're playing in the pro league. You're going to need somebody really good in your corner, whether it's a coach, mentor, or somebody you hire, possibly a service, or you do the teleseminars, or you do product launches and joint ventures. Is that useful to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, it's not the ideal answer. It's not really necessarily what you would want to hear. You've got one other shot with Robert Putty's product launch formula that might work in that market, where you create a really killer front-end product that you allow – it's the butterfly model. You allow everybody to give it away for free, and then there's some OTOs tacked on, one-time offers, so you're going to make the, they're going to make the commissions on that.
That's actually what I had in mind, give away a $1,000 course for free.
That model does work. That model does work if the OTO converts and there's enough money in it for the JV partners. The better thing about it is it doesn't have to be a product launch, and it can bring in evergreen traffic. Robert Putty's sites that he's done that with continue to bring in traffic. However, there are also software programs, and it's something you should probably consider. The information products are probably going to have a shorter shelf life, but if you have some kind of software that people want ongoing access to, you have more leverage for that to be an evergreen lead generation system.
Okay.
All right, that was probably way above the heads of some people, so we'll move on here.
Hey, Marla, I just want to tell you I appreciate that. Also, I used your advice on the guy you sent over on hiring outsourcing in the Philippines. I got a webmaster. I've had him for a month, and he's created like three awesome sites for us, so thanks for that tip.
Oh, did you use the replace myself thing,
Yes, John Jonas? Yes, I did.
All right, I sent him a testimonial because he can use it.
Okay.
And who is this? Is this Dave?
This is David, Seattle.
Oh, yeah. All right, David. All right, great. Yeah, send that over to him. And, yeah, we're having good luck, and it's really the thing to do right now is outsourcing to the Philippines using his little system. The only problem, like I say, is there's a short-term problem with his system right now. And I really don't understand the people at that job site. I just, seriously, their emails to me are so off base that I can't even articulate it.
I got hooked up directly with the guy himself, and we just communicate via email and Skype. He's very responsive, and I pay him $750 a month, and that's full-time webmaster. He'll literally get a nice website complete in like 2 days. I'm amazed.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. So, all right. Who else has a question, comment, stuck point today that you would like to discuss? Anyone? Anybody new on the call that wants to speak up and ask a question or say hello, give us a shout out? All right, then let's do this. Who has a question about internet marketing in general or something you'd like me to talk about for a little bit? any topics you'd like me to cover? If not, I'll go off on something, but I'd rather be responsive to your needs than just go off on what I personally think you need, but we can do it either way.
Hey, Marlon, this is Jim Fortune.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Thanks. You kind of touched on an area that I'm kind of grappling with the autoresponder. I've got people, first-time people, if you will, prospects on a list that have not purchased. I have people who have purchased who now are on that same list. And I'm wondering how to move them over.
All right. What is your autoresponder company?
A. Weber.
All right. So here's what you do, Jim. You have two lists, all right? Your first list is called prospect, and the second one is called first-time customers, all right?
Okay.
And then later you have a third list that's called multi-buyers, right?
Okay.
But for now, let's just deal with your prospects and your customers. AWeber has a thing called automation rules, and here's the way it works. When someone buys a product, you subscribe them to your customer autoresponder. Now, they do have to click the link sent to them in the email, all right? They have to click that link.
Is that a manual process for me, so when they buy, I add them
no,
to that
what,
list?
No. What happens is this. You create your autoresponder called customer. You go in there and you set up an automation rule. And so there's a link on the AWeber menu that literally says, I believe, I can't remember if it's in the drop-down or not, but it says automation. And what it allows you to do is to specify unsubscribe to this list, unsubscribe to this other list. So basically the customer autoresponder will say unsubscribe to that list, unsubscribe from prospect.
But that's a manual process for me.
No. It's an automation rule. In other words, it's automated. You don't got to do nothing. It does it automatically.
How does the rule get executed?
Via PHP. In other words, when they buy the product, your new product, you have your system set up, whatever order taking system you have. You have it set up to subscribe them to the AWeber customer list.
Okay.
That's automated. Then AWeber sends them a double opt-in link that they have to click. As soon as they click that link, the AWeber automation rule says, okay, they're subscribed to the customer list, so now we unsubscribe them from the prospect list.
Gotcha. Okay, the order page where they get subscribed to the customer list was the piece that I was missing.
All right. Now, what order-taking system are you using?
I'm using ClickBank.
You're using ClickBank. All right. I do not believe ClickBank products automatically subscribe people, unless they've changed. As far as I know, what everybody always did in the past anyway is on the thank you page after they order, Jim, you have your little box there that says, please subscribe to our customer list so you can get your bonuses, something like that.
Gotcha.
And then
okay.
They have to subscribe. I do not – now, unless, ClickBank may have changed it. Last I heard, they still had to, on the thank you page, subscribe to your customer list, and you usually tell them they have to do that to get a bonus.
Gotcha.
I have seen ClickBank people, but I do not know if it's against the ClickBank rules or not. I think it may be. I have seen it where you go to the thank you page, and it says to access your product, enter your name and email here to subscribe to our customer list, and you'll be taken to the download page. I think ClickBank doesn't like that if it's forced. It might be okay if you have that, but then have a link where it can say bypass or skip.
Okay.
But unless ClickBank's changed, they do not have a system that will automatically subscribe them. Now, there are other options. In other words, there are third-party scripts created for ClickBank that can kind of bypass this whole thing, but it gets more, it allows you more control, but it gets more complex. Does that make sense, Jim? Like,
it sure does.
I think I would keep it simple and just on the thank you page, have them tell them to get your bonuses, you know, enter your name and email to subscribe to our customer list. And then when they enter their name and email there, I would study how some of the other ClickBank products are doing this. The problem you got there is so they go ahead and they enter their name and email, but now you got to take them to the download page. I guess on your download page, you then have a screen cap of what their email or a video that shows them then how to click the confirmation link you just sent to them. So that's probably the way that you got to do it. On the thank you page, they got to opt in with their name and email. And then when they opt in there, they go to the next page, which is actually the product download page. ClickBank is a little bit, it's not the ideal product delivery system, but thousands and thousands of people have made a lot of money with it, so I wouldn't sweat it. Once they, though, get into your AWeber system, Jim, it's very simple. There's just a little automation rule, and it just says, unsubscribe to this list. You can unsubscribe them from any other list you want on subscription to a list. The problem that you have, getting on a customer list is not a problem. The problem we have, and I don't know that we've come up with a solution, is what do you... In the ideal world, you want your people that have bought more than one product to be on what's called a multi-buyer list, because those are your best customers.
Right.
The problem is, I don't know if we found a way to do it, because you don't really have any way of knowing up front who a multi-buyer was, so how are you able to get them on the list? So I think the best thing we came up with at this point is a customer list, and then if we want them on a multi-buyer list, then I think that has to be done manually, because someone has to go into manually into the database, search to see in the last 30 days who was a multi-buyer, and then put those people manually onto a list, which will then send them a double opt-in thing, and they got to click it to be on the multi-buyer list. But you're doing the right thing, Jim. Thinking through that process is really important, because your autoresponder is the lifeblood of your business. And if you look at that and you decide it's not the ideal solution for you, you can come back to me and I will try to hunt down that ClickBank script. We looked at it, but I'm not real crazy about it. I think you're better just sticking with the ClickBank system.
Very good question, though.
Who else has something you would like to discuss today? I think Jim brought up a very good issue there. Because any of you using ClickBank or any other order processing system, whether you're using a member for your whatever you're using, you got to get these people on a list. It's like the gentleman in our last A-team call, you know, who, and I don't know if he's on or not. He has the site teaching people to be actors. You know, he had 3,500 customers or prospects, but not on a list where he could email them. And, you know, that's the thing is, you know, your lifeblood, your email. So you got to find a way to get these people on the list. Now, I'll tell you what, like, you know, one of the biggest boondoggles to me is that a member only sends one email asking them to double opt-in. I really hate that, because if they miss that one email, then they're not on your list. And it's almost like... You should be having a Filipino who manually follows up with the people that didn't confirm and, like, calls them or emails them personally or something and says, hey, you need to confirm. I mean, that's how important your customers are. I mean, you got to get them on a list. Very important. Your email is frequency you email. You know, you got to be emailing at least once a week, For so a lot of you, every other day or every 3 days or even daily is not too often. But at least if you don't email at least once a week, you're going to lose your people. You're just going to lose them. All right. Who else has a question, comment, or something you'd like to discuss? Mike, have you got any issues, or are you just rocking and rolling but trying to get your work done, or where are you at?
Yeah, outside of getting this sales letter finished so I can get this thing launched by the weekend, that's pretty much where
pretty
I'm
much
at.
It.
I have my next projects lined up. And
all right. Are you doing the sales letter yourself?
Yeah.
All right. And then what training? Do you have very much training on writing sales letters, Mike?
I've bought and consumed a bunch of different products.
All right.
That way.
So you have some competence in writing sales letters then?
Yeah, it's just for me it's like pulling hen's teeth. It's not
all
something
right.
I have to force myself to sit down. Once I
not something
down,
you really love doing, all right. All right. Have you bought Jason Fladley's 3-hour ad thing yet?
Yeah.
In terms of the single one you could go through, that one's about, you know, because it just focuses you on the big picture. What's the offer, you know? It gives you 6 headline formulas, you know. I think six headline formulas and then the focus on what your offer is. Because really the most important things about the letter are not the letter.
Yeah, I got that. That's always Mike Morgan's thing. Is you have to have your offer together before you do anything. The letter is
right.
Easy once you figure out what your offer is.
Right. So if you got your offer down, and you can get that headline and lead, then you're probably you're 80% of the way there. You know.
Yeah, I've like I said, for me, it's just a matter of forcing myself. I have to give myself a deadline because I will postpone writing a sales letter for forever if I don't say that it's going to
launch.
Well,
when you have the money, then you should probably, that's one of the things you should probably outsource. Or,
oh, definitely.
You know. So the problem on that is it's not the easiest, that's easier said than done because your top-notch writers, as you know, make $10,000 to $13,000 a letter, if not more. But as far as I know, like, I believe if you're going to Vin or Mike, I think Mike Morgan or Vin or those guys, I think probably all of them are charging $10,000 to $13,000 a letter, if not more, Ray Edwards, et cetera. So then it's like if you go to a second-tier copywriter, which is not necessarily bad, the problem there is that, like, you can maybe use them for X period of time, but the price is just going to keep going up and up as their demand continues if they're any good. So, I don't see, like, it's almost that you're better off if you can find – the ideal solution is you find somebody really great at writing in the Philippines, you teach them to write sales letters because they won't be hooked into, like, the product launch. Crowd.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I just don't know if they can write sales letters at that level because English isn't – I mean, they're very good at English, but it's still not their number one language. You know, I think it's asking a lot. I mean, if it was that easy to, like, hire out sales letters, I'd probably hire mine out. It's not like I just sit around and go, oh, I think I'm in the mood to write it. You know, I used to find it really exciting to write sales letters. It's not really so exciting anymore, you know, after you've done a lot. You know. All right. Who else has something you want to discuss today? Yes, go ahead.
Marlon Andrews.
Hi, Andrew. Hey,
how are you? I have a product. I work with salons and day spas. And I've been working to create a product to sell to them, which will help them with their offline marketing.
Right.
I have an affiliation, someone who helps them with their online marketing.
Okay.
But I really want the offline. I came across a product, as I look at the marketplace, the competition, and the product is basically derivative of Dan Kennedy. It's that type of, you know.
Right, a Dan Kennedy clone, okay.
Okay, I came across a Dan Kennedy clone.
Right.
Pretty darn good product.
Right.
Work. A pretty darn good product. I got one of my clients to purchase it. I purchased the thing, too, and we're going to work to see, you know, how this actually works in the real world. Test it. If it works, I'm thinking about doing a knockoff. You know, how not the exact thing, but basically, you know, a Dan Kennedy clone of a salon direct marketing piece is the same as a Dan Kennedy clone of a dog catcher piece, or that's a template. But I'm having some ethical issues with doing it, and maybe it's just internal. But obviously, competition, it's an idea on how to use direct marketing in a particular niche.
Well, yeah, you know, the Dan Kennedy people are tough to compete against.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sit here and just say it's easy, and the reason is because they have a broad base of people with a lot of experience in different niches.
Right.
Having said that, when they first start penetrating a niche, it's with templated stuff that
right, exactly.
may or may not really work in that niche, but they get better as time goes along because they have people test it and they start tweaking it, honing
exactly.
it, and refining it. So, but there's always room for more ideas and more things and systems, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's always room. No one
mm-hmm.
has a monopoly on good ideas. So
the
ideal world is you have just your system or your ideas that are kind of uniquely you or yours,
mm-hmm.
and you get some salons. I mean, your options are you sell it at a lower price to get some beta testers in, you know, and try to start honing and refining it as you go along. What Joe Polish did in his carpet cleaning business was, you know, he sold his front-end course, then he had, like, a monthly coaching thing.
Right.
You know, and the monthly coaching people were really the ones who honed and refined the specific techniques just kind of as they went along.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What I notice is, at just the very simple from the salons is they never contact you. They just don't contact you.
What do
so,
you mean?
Like, one of the simple things that you can make money with right away
mm-hmm.
without a big ordeal is you sign up at Send Out Cards as one of their resellers.
Right, right.
And just see if you can get them on a Send Out Card system where they just send a card with a sales message or whatever to their customers once a month.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm.
That's, like, a real simple thing. The approach to competition goes like this. The book I recommend you read is Marketing Warfare.
Okay.
By Trout and Rise. And that's
mm-hmm.
about everything you need to know about competition and
mm-hmm.
or the bulk of it. And what it says very simply is this. I mean, if there is no leader, then it's just really a competition. That sounds like the case here. They're doing this,
yeah.
but they really don't got it either. So right now there really is no leader.
That
it's really
totally,
just a competition to see who can really get some market share and some success stories.
That's totally correct.
Right?
That's right.
And it's a competition for a USP. The bad thing about copying somebody else's system then is you don't really, you maybe water down your USP. So I would probably try to come up with my differentiated offer, which...
Mm-hmm.
Like, Dan's stuff is just all based on direct response marketing, so
that's
there's
right.
not a lot of guilt there. He didn't invent direct response marketing.
That's correct.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you
mm-hmm.
know, all he does is uses it in niches. So, you know, no one has a patent on direct response marketing.
Right. So I can
right, and you're not
mm-hmm.
violating copyrights.
Right.
Because you're going to write your own copy. So, I mean,
that's
no one
correct.
Owns direct response marketing principles and concepts.
Mm-hmm.
No one. I mean, Dan ain't got any exclusive right to use direct response marketing principles or concepts or ideas. The idea of sending a direct response mailer to your customers ain't new.
No.
Right? I mean, there's nothing new there. Once there's a leader established, then you try to target the weakness of the leader and you attack the weakness of the leader. In this case, there is no leader. So
right.
What you're really just looking for is can you get a viable system that works that's got some differentiation, and can you get a lead generation system that'll work?
Yeah, and I think I have the lead generation system
Then I would probably start working with test salons on whatever basis you want to charge them and start trying to get some success stories. I mean, you need validation that your stuff works.
Right.
And you need to be some kind of testing ground, and hopefully you can get people to pay for it during that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So they're paying you basically to help them develop these tools, but they have non-exclusive rights to them, so you can sell them to other people. So they basically become your test subjects.
So work,
I mean, that's really what you need. The one thing that should work for them great is voice blasts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? I mean, voice blasts are really just a natural.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's probably the easy, you know, so that's something you could get quick results with, because it should be easy to get testimonials, you know. We used one of the marketing methods, and we brought in $3,298 in 24 hours. Those testimonials ought to be, like, easy.
Mm-hmm.
They take their customers, export them as Excel. Pray to God they can do that part. That's not always as easy as you would think.
No,
if not, you've got to find someone. This is where Filipinos come in, or Odesk really would work fine, to enter the manual data into a database for them.
Well, I think that's part of the differentiation, the level of assistance that they can get. So if I could set up the back end, it's like having their own virtual assistant, which I'll build into the price of the thing. Because basically they are just working behind the chair, busy, 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 and this stuff all falls apart. They really, it's so difficult.
Well, that's true. That ain't any of them got time to implement anything. That's why in Dan's system, he tries to give them as much done-for-you materials to use, but they typically don't provide services. And if you can add an element of service, there's some differentiation there, you know.
So that could, you don't basically have to do anything. You buy it and you speak to the guy and that's it. He downloads a list.
Right.
Gotcha. So that's enough. That could be enough differentiation.
Well, the person has no market share, and it's a really big market. So at this point, I don't think you got to sweat the competition, because it's a massive market.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to get, you know, probably the easiest thing to do is to focus in a geographic area and start where you are.
Right.
Because word spreads a little bit easier geographically. Try to establish a geographical base and then spread from there. It's probably easiest.
Okay. That's great.
Try that. Come back in 2 weeks and tell me where you're at, all right?
Okay. Thanks, Mark.
All right. Let's hear from you again on this.
Okay.
All right. Let's see what time it is. All right. It's about time to wrap this up. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Anything else, stock points or anything you want to add today? Well, kind of to summarize, we talked about using outsourcing, using Filipinos. A number of people are having good success using that. If you're not doing that, it is recommended. You can go to outsourceplan.com, and that will take you to John Jonas's site. We talked about the need, and Jim brought up an excellent question about autoresponders and implementing them into your system. We talked about setting up the automation rules. If any of you get stuck on that, you can come back to me, and I could do a video on it. It's very simple, though. You just go into AWeber in the account, and in one of the drop-down menus it says automation or automation rules, and it's just literally point and click. The harder thing is getting people into the autoresponder to begin with, which is what Jim was referring to. And like in our A member has a script now, a plugin that will add people to A member, or at least it adds them to A member, and then A member sends them the confirmation email. If you're not using A member, ClickBank, I don't think will automate it. So then you just have to try to do it on the thank you page, and it's less efficient. Now, A member, here's one other thing I'll mention, Jim. A member is integrated now with ClickBank. So what you can do is have A member work with ClickBank, and then A member has a plugin that will subscribe. I forgot about this. A member has a plugin that subscribes people to AWeber. ClickBank is now integrated with A member, so you could actually set up A member, integrate ClickBank with it. I wouldn't do that at first because it's going to take, you have to hire someone to do it. It's not going to be real expensive, but you do have to hire someone, but it's kind of a pain. Initially, you want to find out if your product will sell. But if the product's selling and you're making some money, then I think that would probably be worthwhile doing.
Okay. I've got a member.
All right. Well, they have a new ClickBank module for it. I don't know if it's new. I think it's new. And then they also have an AWeber module that will automatically, when people enter a member, it automatically sends the thing to subscribe them to AWeber. And it's integrated now with ClickBank. So all of that can be set up. What I do for a member is there's a thing called Membership Academy. David, what's his name? I can't remember. But he's a specialist in working with a member. And it is a membership site, but it is one that we join because a member is our back-end engine. And he's just great. He's just really great about working with you.
And what was his name?
David something. He's got a long last name. It's just called Membership Academy.
Membership
Academy. If you have any problems, let me just check it. But I believe you just type A Member Academy. Or let's just try Membership Academy. I think it's actually membershipacademy.com, but let's see here. Yeah, it's just membershipacademy.com.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, he's really great. All right. So we talked about the importance of getting people into the autoresponder. We talked about the rigors of lead generation in a highly competitive market, and you're kind of playing in the pro leagues on the SEO and the pay-per-click side if you're in something like internet marketing or real estate, and it's pretty much dog-eat-dog there. So that leaves you more to trying to do webinars or teleseminars where you're pitching, possibly the product launch formula / butterfly marketing model, or product launches, traditional product launches. So that kind of sums up, I think, the important things that we discussed today. Again, if you're new, go back and listen to the audios in the membership site, and there'll be a lot more there for you. I'll try to do orientation call for some of you newbies here soon to help some of you out. But there are a lot of back calls that have a lot of great information for you newer people who were likely lost on a lot of this today. The last thing I'd like to point out we talked about was the frames and how framing works, and it's an advanced method, but it's something you need to be aware of because anyone selling you something is trying to pull you into a frame, and you need to be wise about that and understand what frame you're buying into before you buy into it. At least you can be knowledgeable about what you're buying into. All right, everyone. Thank you for being on the call today, and I'll see all of you in 2 weeks. Bye, everyone.